week's segment of Bougiest Bub in East Austin.
Bougiest Bub.
Nick asked me for his flat water when sitting right in front of him was his bottle of sparkling water.
Topo Chico, to be exact. Anyone from specifically Austin will love this.
Is Topo only an Austin thing? Is it not a whole Texas thing?
It might be.
Helen and Harrison,
my sample size is small.
Helen and Harrison had Topo in Houston.
I mean, I'm sure it's there. My sample size is small, but it's delicious.
It's water.
It's good. You know it's good.
Oh my gosh.
It's from so Mexico, though, too.
Bottled at the source.
Yes. Bottled somewhere in Monterey,
it's the Topo of Chico, I'm pretty sure.
Monterey, Mexico, dude.
Yeah, Chino, California. That's where it's bottled.
Chino.
Lonzo yes. style.
Just you know straight that, from Chino.
What's the youngest one?
Of what? The balls?
The balls, yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, you know that LeVar has... It's not LaMelo. What's the one below LaMelo? We'll just call him La LeBron. So we know that that LeVar has La LeBron just in like their backyard with a garden hose sticking just, water into Topo Chino
just
bottles.
Just bottling up Topo Chinos.
Yeah, basically.
Chinos, though. It needs to be specified as
a little known fact, LeVar Ball has broken through the California drought and found a limitless source of carbonated water bubbling up from his backyard.
Dude, what can LeVar not do, honestly? At this point,
sell shoes.
Fair. Slight jab, too. Proud of you. Jab.
This is Between Two Millennials, a social commentary on many things millennial, including embarrassing basketball fathers.
And Topo Chico. Also, I'm Nick.
Also?
Mm-hmm.
I never even introduced myself.
Well, I was putting that on the tailspin of the Topo Chico part.
So, I have a new name.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. It's a very original,
oh, no.
never been used before name that nobody has ever had in their existence.
Good.
You ready for this? My new name is...
I don't know if I am ready.
Dahomey.
You mean the region of West Africa?
What are you talking about?
What country did it become part of?
Would y'all like to hear an amazing fun fact for the day?
Yes. I would.
In 1958, there was a region in West Africa that was previously owned by the evil colonial power, France.
Okay.
And the name of that region was Dahomey.
And this is a fact.
Spelled Dahomey. Dahomey.
And you can actually look it up. It's a real place.
Yeah, but you want to hear the sad part of that story? Is Dahomey's referendum actually failed.
I know.
And they
wow,
didn't,
really?
They didn't receive independence at that point.
Huh.
But once they became Benin, which is a considerably worse name for a country.
I know. Dahomey is like the top of the list.
Like
anything other than that is pretty small.
Oh my gosh. There's like some pretty cool country names out there, right? Like Turkey, that's pretty cool.
Pretty
like,
good.
Iran a marathon. Like that's not bad.
That's also pretty good.
Freaking Georgia. People mistake it for the amazing state in the United States all the time.
State versus country? Who knows?
Rip. And Maryland. Did you know that there was an African colony on the west coast of Africa?
Wait, what?
Rip. There was an American colony on the west coast of Africa at one point called Maryland.
Wow, I actually did not know that.
Who knew, right?
What the?
It became
really?
Liberia.
Oh, okay.
It's insane.
I didn't realize that they took the name Maryland first.
So, actually, it was Liberia and then Maryland and then back to Liberia.
Oh,
but anyway, Dahomey could have topped all of those lists.
It still does, even though it's not a country now.
You know, did you read? You remember reading about that father who claimed a piece of disputed land? In the middle of like the northern Sudan southern desert, and he claimed a piece of land and made his daughter a princess over it.
What?
You don't remember hearing about this?
No, is it like an American guy?
Yeah, of course. Who else would do it? Who else would go into somebody else's country and claim land for his daughter just so she could become a princess?
Jesus Christ.
where was I going with that long string of Not a good thought.
I don't know. Americans? Africa? Sudan? RIP. You're done, kiddo.
Oh, RIP.
But the good news is, all this does tie into our topic for today.
Yeah, we're talking about bad parents.
Hold on, we're going a little off script.
All right, so let me tell you about why I don't like my parents.
Bad parents.
Rip, never mind. That's too close to the heart.
Oh, no. I'm segueing right into the actual topic of the day.
Okay, so before we get into the real topic, though, what was I? There was a point to me telling you that story.
I have no idea, dude.
Oh, I remember what it is. One day when we're on Elon Musk's test flight to Mars,
we should
claim land there and name it after our long lost favorite country,
America.
Dahomey.
Dahomey.
The United States of Dahomey.
On Mars.
On Mars, yeah.
Perfect.
And you know what our main crop will be? Our cash crop of sorts?
What?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm asking you.
I don't know either.
Well, pick something exciting. Beets?
No. Exciting?
Dwight Schrute will come and beet farm for us. And by beets, I mean like... like throw down some dank beeps. Because he's Dahomey.
Oh my god. I don't know if we can cash crop that. But it's a good effort. How about like snap peas or something like way off the wall?
Snap peas?
Dahomey's ex. See, look at that. I'm tying right into your beats suggestion.
1, 2, 3, 4. We are Dahomey.
This is going to be a great
living the Martian life. This is our national anthem. Whenever we play people in football with no contact, as will be the norm in 30 years. Because obviously everybody's brain is degenerating.
That's true. Well, I'll just go back to like soccer and then that'll be it.
Oh, so the original football.
Indeed, sir. Indeed. And then that'll be it.
Well, anyway, that was a random aside.
Quite a big tangent.
Also, did you know that Bahrain in 1970 was voting between becoming an independent nation or joining Iran?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't actually know that.
And they became an independent nation. Yeah. And then my first sister was born there.
Huh.
Yay. anything exciting happened to you this week before we get into our topic?
No, nothing too crazy.
I had an awful night last night.
Yeah, you had a terrible night.
So, goodness. I was driving for DoorDash.
I mean, he means his employer that he... All right, well, cats out.
I don't care. I told them so many times that they suck.
Yeah, that's true. You were pretty pissed off with them.
Yeah. So, I drive for DoorDash, which is like Uber Eats, but worse. And it's been like a part-time thing until I start working full-time. So, I was driving for them last night, and their like driver support is horrid. Absolutely abhorrent. Like, if I had to... put it in terms of like a baseball player, it's like Tim Tebow bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, it's flashy, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't get you the stats that you need. You know what I mean?
Big name, no game.
Right, precisely. So I drive for them, and like I've had a couple like minor issues, but nothing like yesterday when in the span of 10 minutes, I get 4 orders, and then the credit card that I'm supposed to pay with in order to pay for certain orders, like the DoorDash credit card, didn't work at any of the restaurants I was going to. So then I had to pay with it with my own credit card. What's up with that?
And it's like a Visa too, right? Like, it's a fairly well-known credit card.
Yes, it was stupid. And like, as an underemployed, like, bottom like 3%er in America.
Bottom 3%er.
Oh, no, that's probably not true, but...
It's probably close, sadly.
Hey, shut your mouth.
the DoorDash.
Be quiet.
Life, dude. The DoorDash.
Shut your mouth. I don't like you right now. Get off prideful high horse.
Continue with your sob story.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm so ready to not have this job.
Yeah, pretty much the card canceled on him twice, and then he yelled at customer support. And then didn't customers like yell at you too? Because it was like late or something?
I didn't get yelled at, but I got yelled at via a proxy, aka another one of the customer support people. And I was like, maybe if your credit cards would have worked, I wouldn't have delivered the order 45 minutes late.
That's probably true. You gotta have good infrastructure to make those orders on time.
And they don't. They don't have a good interface. They don't have good customer service. They're basically just a bad company.
I'm just surprised that, like, can't they just pass on the credit card information to the restaurant? Like, you know, because, I mean, clearly the customer inputs their information to get their order.
It's not their credit. We don't put the customer's credit card in.
Really?
It's a DoorDash credit card.
Huh. Interesting.
No, because if we took the customer's credit card, then I could go ham and they wouldn't know until, like, 3 days later.
Well, I meant just, like, if DoorDash could just basically, like, you know, charge the card for the restaurant.
Man. Would you want them doing that with your credit card?
That's what Uber Eats does. You just pay the restaurant directly.
Yeah, but then it deposits from your bank account into Uber Eats by giving them your credit card.
Oh, okay. And then technically...
Uber Eats deposits into the restaurant's account.
Right. But, like, it's your cash.
The only person who has your credit card info is Uber Eats, not the restaurant.
Well, that's basically what I meant. Is like, they could just transfer that. That's how
most of the restaurants do it. But the ones in particular apparently didn't have that set up, so you pay with the credit card. Oh,
wow. Okay, I did not realize that.
Yeah, because most, like, half of my orders are...
You just go and pick it up.
I just go and pick it up. The other, like, there's, like, 35% of them where I have to pay with the credit card, and another 15% where I have to actually order it and pay with the credit card.
Okay, see, I thought it was every time you went, you had to pay with that credit card.
Yesterday it just happened to be two in a row where it didn't work.
Okay.
And I was pissed about it. It sucked. I came in fuming last night.
DoorDash, woo.
Yeah. What if they were to listen to this?
Well, you'd be giving them a piece of your mind. Plus, it wouldn't matter since you're not going to be there in like a week anyway.
So. And I already gave them a piece of my mind twice. I told two Indian ladies on the phone that they need to make their systems much more efficient and that having me pay with my own credit card is absurd and unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to be paying with like your own credit card for
other people's food. Yeah,
that you're doing.
And to that they said, "We're sorry."
Yikes! Did you get a gift card or anything? Like any?
What do you think?
I'm assuming absolutely no, not. Wow.
I'm but a me peasant contractor who gets zero benefits from this job.
I guess so, dude.
Dang. For the record, I didn't scream at the people who I talked to on the phone. I just told them where their system was inefficient and how they could tell their manager how to make it more efficient.
Wow, nice. Offering services like on top of it.
Yeah, they should actually pay me to be a consultant. Anyway, so what was the reason that we mentioned all of those countries at the beginning of this episode?
Oh, because we're talking about referendums today.
Indeed. Referendums are a hot-button topic for the week. Two major ones actually happened in the past week. The first one was the Iraqi Kurd referendum.
Yes, quite interesting.
And so to kind of lay the framework for that, the Kurds are a group of Christian Arabs living in the northern part of Iraq. There are actually many Kurds also in Turkey, Iran, and Syria. Yeah, but this was...
They're like in that kind of northern, or just in that region, right?
Yeah, between right.
Turkey, Syria, and Iraq.
There's quite a few of them. And although those four different groups of Kurds are slightly culturally different, the group that was declaring independence was the Iraqi Kurds.
Okay.
And there were concerns among the other nations that people would flee and go to the new Iraqi Kurdistan. Right. So the vote happened earlier this week, and it was something like 90...
I think it was like 97%.
96, yeah, it was a very high number of people voted for a referendum here. Now, the only other country in the world that was pro this referendum was...
I don't know.
Israel.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And... That makes sense because Israel would probably be happy having another ally in the region.
Yeah.
But everybody else in the world, literally everybody else, including the UN, were not on board with this particular referendum because it could potentially be destabilizing in an area that's already being wrecked by ISIS.
Well, and the whole ISIS fight's still happening too. So, like, you know, we don't want that to become like a political issue at the same time when people are working relatively well together
yeah.
in the region, considering how complex it is there.
Well, and just looking at the U.S.'s position, the U.S. is arming Kurdish fighters against ISIS. The U.S. is also working with the Iraqi local and state police to help them kind of regain control of the state. But the Iraqi government is not for this Kurdish referendum, which means that if the U.S. maintained its current position, it would be arming Iraqi soldiers to fight against Kurdish soldiers that they were also arming, which would certainly be a precarious situation for the United States to be in.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff I've been reading this week has suggested that most people, and in fact, a lot of the Iraqi government is actually not in support of a Kurdish referendum. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as Christians in the region, it makes sense for them to kind of have their own area. But yeah, given the current geopolitical climate, given the fact that we're fighting ISIS right now, there's lots of talks of this not being the right time.
Well, I think that's the main point, too, is like, you know, I think really realistically, if this happened like a decade ago or even like a decade from now, it, I mean, ideally, it'd probably be a better situation, but
right,
a little busy at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Israel's piece in this makes a whole lot of sense because if they could, if there was another Christian, if there was another Sino-Judeo ally in the area, that would certainly benefit them, yeah, given their precarious situation of having supposed enemies on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
So the other referendum that happened this week was Catalonia.
Right.
Part of España.
It's the northeastern corner of Spain, as a matter of fact.
They also had a referendum where 90% of the people voted yes in favor of independence.
And I believe that's also the region that includes Barcelona, right?
I actually don't know that.
I'm pretty certain it does. Mm-hmm. Like, Barcelona, I think, is like the capital of that particular region.
Oh, you are so right. It is Barcelona.
See, look at that.
So, Spain, in order to maintain its football superiority, would rather not lose Barcelona, because then what do they have now? Real Madrid?
I know, seriously.
What a crap team.
Pretty lame.
No, but really, Spain wants to keep the country together for... I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure why Spain wants to keep the country together.
I mean, they probably don't want to lose part of your territory, yeah, just because some of your citizens feel like it.
It's true, yeah. You know? Although... I know in Catalonia, in that region of the country, they actually speak Catalan. Isn't that the language, the official language?
Is it like a regional dialect or something? Mm-hmm. Is it related to Spanish?
Do you know? Related, but not exactly the same.
Interesting.
It's Catalan. That is the official language.
Catalan.
And that people group kind of considers themselves to be a little bit different from the rest of Spanish Spain.
Hmm.
So, this kind of topic in general... Well, actually, one more referendum that happened. This one was a little bit while ago, and it was about a U.S. territory that is currently being affected by a hurricane. Remember the referendum that Puerto Rico had?
Yeah, I actually forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was like a couple months ago now.
That was another referendum where Puerto Rico went through the necessary steps to vote in order to become a United States.
And I mean, that's the thing about, like, referendums, too. Like, any of these referendums that we're talking about is, they're all, like, non-binding. It's pretty much just, like, an opinion, like, a giant opinion poll about whether or not the country wants to, like, do something.
Well, yeah, in Puerto Rico's case, that is definitely true because it requires the approval of the U.S. Congress. So it's mm-hmm. a little bit different from Kurdistan and Catalonia. But, I mean, from those two areas perspective, I mean, if they could militarize and defend their own borders, then hypothetically they could form states.
Right.
The problem is they wouldn't be recognized on the international sphere except by Israel and in Catalonia's state by Abkhazia,
yes,
which is a small, also unrecognized state on the border of Georgia and Russia. Irrelevant to this discussion, just kind of funny.
But yeah, that's typically the process for these referendums. It's like they'll hold a referendum and then they'll say, okay, cool, yep, the citizenry wants this, and then they'll take political steps after that,
right,
to like start the process.
Which I get is kind of what happened in the UK as well.
Well, yeah, that's kind of where I'm drawing all that knowledge from. Is like the referendum didn't really mean anything for Brexit. It's just the fact that the government is like taking steps to make that happen.
Yeah.
Means that it actually worked.
So it is interesting to discuss and debate, though, the current status of the nation state, because we have seen several referendums. Well, rewind slightly. There have only been three successful referendums since the end of the Cold War. That of South Sudan, which is not a good place to be at the moment. Not
working out too well, yeah.
Montenegro, which is like doing pretty good.
I didn't actually realize that was a referendum post-Cold War.
Yeah. Oh. And then the other one, wasn't it Kosovo?
It's probably that whole like Yugoslavian region, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine. But yeah, I believe it's Kosovo was the one that broke away and started that whole Balkan War thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there have only been three successful referendums that have led to countries being nation states, and only really one of those countries is stable at the moment.
Yeah.
Montenegro. Mm-hmm. Although Catalonia is not necessarily a area that is being afflicted by war right now.
No.
Kurdistan definitely is.
A little bit different.
One of the most war-torn regions in the world.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, we can look now broadly at the nation state. And, you know, I posit to you, Nick, should we even be allowing other, like, people groups to form their own countries at this point? Where, like, borders are relatively set, world order, although is in a kind of post-World War II era where countries are no longer seen as countries, they're seen as part of regional blocks of sorts. Where, like, truthfully, the value of the nation state is lessening, I would say.
I think the global order is really like going back to like a hegemony, like not so much like a singular nation leading it, but like a, just like a group. Like, I think things are a lot more on par than they used to be, like during the Cold War. And I think that's just kind of a general, like, I don't want to say leveling of like the playing field, but I think there's been a lot more push to use some of these international bodies and like make that a conversation. So, you know, like the EU becoming a bigger block and coming together and kind of making more decisions, and it's pretty much like not just the US or the USSR dominated discussion. There's like a much more equal playing field now.
Right. And so with that in mind, are you an advocate for or against some of these referendums?
You know, I think that's kind of like where the topic gets a little more sticky for me, because if there's, you know, referendums on different people groups that are trying to form their own states, then we need to almost have a conversation about kind of where to draw the line there. Like, is it like on a religious ground? Is it on an ethnic ground? Is it on like a, I don't know, like a shared values ground? Like, where do you draw the line between what qualifies as a nation state and what doesn't? That's almost the discussion where we'd have to get into. Because traditionally, it's been like an ethnic group or, you know, some sort of shared values system. But then if you get into a point where it's like, okay, like, well, we think that we're, you know, they have some shared idea or something and that we need to form our like own state, you know, is that something that can be recognized on an international scale?
Yeah. That's
something that I don't know.
True. And I mean, I think in theory, the U.S. would be behind a independent Kurdistan because of the uniting of a central religious like base. I don't think anybody would necessarily be opposed to that, especially given the lack of ability on behalf of the Iraqi government. But I mean, I think that this then, like, with that in mind, this then invites a discussion on whether even groups in the U.S. can call for nation-stating themselves.
Exactly. That's like the next topic. It's like, you know, if you believe you have the numbers to make your idea like a viable one for like a nation-state, it's like, oh yeah, we have like, you know, 4 or 5 million people that believe this, so we need to make our own nation state. And it's like, okay, I mean, you know, for whatever the topic is, you know, it could be a pretty fleeting idea.
Yeah.
And I think in order to form a nation state, it needs to be something that's like more concrete than just an idea, for lack of a better term.
Well, so then that gets tough, though, because... So, a couple weeks ago, I was driving home, and I picked up a newspaper.
Yes.
I wasn't sure what it was. There are these black men in suits that walked up to my car, and I was impressed that they were wearing suits in 95 degree weather. So
it
I bought.
It was hot. It was like July.
It was August because I wasn't here till August.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But they're selling newspapers, and so I bought a newspaper. Curious, it had a catchy title or something. Turns out these newspapers were. The gentlemen selling the newspapers were part of the Nation of Islam.
That's true.
U.S.-based, African-American-based Islamic community. Which I was like, okay, that's cool. And they had a couple articles in there about some of the leaders of their community, most notably Farah Khan.
Mm. I do remember reading that article. Yeah,
he's British, and he like kind of fights for Islamic rights in that area of the world, but he was silenced in some big debacle. Anyway, that's not what was the interesting part. The interesting part of this newspaper was on the very back page. I don't know if it's the Nation of Islam. I'm probably misquoting or misrepresenting the organization, but one, they had a list of their like mission statements and the things that they believe. And one of the things on there was that they believed that they should be allowed to form their own separate nation state within the United States,
mm-hmm.
based on their both ethnic, in this case black, and religious, in this case Islamic, views that are different from the majority of America, which is true, and that the U.S. government should recognize their independence.
Right. I do remember that, and it's interesting stuff. It's controversial stuff, too.
It is. And I read that, and I was like, huh, that's interesting.
It's not really something you hear about actively, I guess, on the, you know, your like day-to-day.
No, not at all. Not at all. And like whenever I talked to the guy about the newspaper when I was waiting in my car, he didn't mention that as a as a selling point for buying his newspaper. ? I wonder why. But you know, it does beg the question though. Where does nation stating, creating new countries, stop? Because in that situation, they're not rallying around an idea.
No.
They're rallying around a real religion,
mm-hmm.
a real ethnic difference from the majority, and yet they have 0% chance of ever forming a nation state within right. the contiguous 48 states and Alaska and Hawaii.
Exactly. I mean, that's you know, another good example of we don't know where that line is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even looking at Israel, too, like, what was it, 1948 when we founded Israel, or mm-hmm. when it was founded? And it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, the Jewish people have been around for like thousands and thousands of years, and it took until 1948 to get like an officially recognized international body.
In a world order that has been recognizing nation states since like 1500 or 1600. Like they had a couple hundred years to
exactly
get their stuff together.
And so it's almost like you need to have like some sort of monumentous event to really kind of back that sort of thing.
In this case, Brits feeling bad for Jews, rightfully so.
But, well, yeah. I mean, but, World War II is a little rough on
yeah.
them. But, yeah, I mean, it's almost like there needs to be some sort of large, like, cataclysmic-sized event, almost, to really, not, like, shake people up, but to say, okay, you know, maybe we need to redraw some lines.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I think referendums are nice, and I think in certain cases they're necessary, but oftentimes, I don't know, I guess for us, they seem irrelevant.
It's like a nice way to, like, you know, put your finger on the pulse of what's happening in that particular region.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not the end-all be-all either of, like, the discussion around whatever the topic is.
True. Another thing to consider, too, is that we've seen a kind of increasing nationalist tide that we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast, both stateside as well as internationally. And, you know, these referendums only further segregate people groups from each other.
Exactly. Because if your neighbors are like, oh, okay, well, they don't really think they should be a part of Spain, and like, you know, in one of the cases we're talking about here,
yeah,
then it's almost like they're just becomes like a wedge driven between
right.
that region and others.
And I mean, the idea of a global community is progressive. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. There are obviously people who are going to fight against that. But, you know, if history is any indication, we have been trending towards a global community for...
I mean, since nation states started.
To be fair. Yeah. Since people started visiting other countries in search of spices and riches in the fountain of youth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is relevant. I think it's important for people to have, I hate this term, but like safe spaces for them and their people groups to like, you know, to celebrate their own individual culture
yeah,
and whatnot.
I mean, it is important, yeah.
Is it necessary within the confines of their own nation state? Debatable, especially when you consider that more and more so we're shifting towards that global community
mm-hmm.
where
right.
we're not, ideally, truthfully, ideally, we would all have our nationalities and we all be proud to be from the country where we're from. And every 4 years when the FIFA World Cup shows up, everybody rallies around their country.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we'd all be working together.
Yeah, I mean, I think the human experience has shared values. I mean, obviously, there are differences, but it's kind of like a matter of where you rank your priorities, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, look at us. You're a Czech. I'm a German-Japanese redhead.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Same discussion group.
Sorry, Czech Irish.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right.
I forgot about your Kennedy side, your Canadian
yep.
side.
You need to grab both ends there.
Yeah. I also forgot that I'm also part Danish and Scottish. But
Jesus. You are a mess.
Wow, you just call me a mutt?
You are a mess.
You just call me a bastard child? That's messed up.
That might be elevated a bit.
That is messed up, dude. I'm forming my own nation state so that I don't have to talk to you and your kind.
We're going to have a referendum about this.
We are drawing a line right down the middle of this house, sir. You cannot cross.
But it needs to be like slightly diagonal so I can still get back to my
room.
You
shall not pass.
We'll just gerrymander it.
Perfect. And you can only stand in that part of the kitchen. Gerrymandering?
That should be a good topic.
Gerrymandering is interesting, especially because with it's redrawn every census. And whoever controls the individual state houses basically gets the ability to redraw.
We need to make that a topic for the upcoming weeks.
Dude, Austin's congressional maps, congressional
insane.
Districts, are the stupidest thing ever.
Seeing some of those maps of just any of those districts is hilarious.
It's bad. So in Texas, Republicans had like 70% of the seats in 2010 and just redrew the maps in the most absurd ways, such that like within like 2 or 3 miles of downtown Austin, there are not one but 6 congressional districts.
Dude, you should have seen the one from back home, like back in LA, when it got redrawn, and half my district was just wiped off the map.
No way.
Yeah, it was just completely gone.
I mean, redistricting is necessary because people move, but some of these maps
are
absurd.
I don't like gerrymandering.
It's a problem on both sides of the aisle.
Of course,
everybody does it.
I mean, it's whoever's in power like does it. So.
I think there were talks of redistricting being done by like. Independent third party, kind of like the Congressional Budget Office type of organization.
That would be nice.
Yeah, to
we,
make
we
it
we need
fair.
To make this topic for next week or like
I mean,
the week after because this would be quite
it's
good.
Interesting to talk about. Yeah, but anyway, nation states are dying, regional blocks are growing. TBD on what'll happen with
you know what? Speaking of regional blocks too, sorry to cut you off there, but I was just thinking about it, and it's actually just kind of growing off of that topic too about how. With the German election, like Macron and all that stuff, like the new French president, and he's been putting forward ideas of like getting the EU to actually kind of have some backbone.
Ooh.
Like getting like a shared military budget, and I think like even like EU federal taxation or something along those lines.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to claim that I have too much knowledge on it, but it's interesting that they're kind of shifting that topic so the EU can actually be like a body with some backbone and not just like a nice idea for people to come together and talk about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That will be interesting to me.
But I mean, the EU can't do anything until they have a unified fiscal policy
right.
as well as a unified political backing.
Well, so, I mean, that's the thing is like right now they're just it's just almost like a nice figurehead idea, but there's really not much that it can do.
Like outside on a grand of, outside scale. Of outside of its control over the euro,
exactly.
Like, which is like controlled by everybody loosely.
Yeah, but yeah, they need to have like totally unified like federal policy on that to make that like a thing.
TBD if that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it'll be interesting. There's a lot of echoes of like early American history on there as well.
Yeah, but their problem is that Europe is full of a crap ton of countries who have different cultures and languages.
Yeah, the language part is going to be weird because at least in the U.S., like the states, it was you had the same language. It was just people identified with their state.
What are you talking about? I speak Southern, boy.
I mean, kind of a different language. True enough.
True.
True enough.
All I eat is collard greens and fixins, if you know what I mean.
Fixins.
Fixins. All the fixins.
Fixins are good.
I don't even know what that accent was. Yeah, the language thing is tough.
Yeah, that'll realistically be like the biggest barrier for the EU.
What do you think with Britain no longer in the European Union, what would be, if they had to pick one language for the entire EU, what would it be?
It's a good question. I mean, realistically, it'd probably either be German or French.
See, I think they should go with something totally unexpected.
Like Romanian.
Like Klingon.
Like not even from the Earth.
No.
Nice.
Because then everybody has to learn it, so everybody's on the same like level playing field.
Just speak through radio waves.
Ooh, or speak through Morse.
Whoa, that would be interesting. But or then even better, Morse code, it would be, you have to spell it out.
The unifying language of the world is Chinese, right? Because you can speak whatever you want it. Like, you can make a character mean anything, but the character still has the same meaning across both
cultures. That's true. Cultures. As long as it's written.
So if you just write Chinese and then speak whatever you want, if you write characters and then make whatever sounds you want for those characters, we have a unified system.
Wow. We did it. We did it. All right, EU, take notes.
Xi Jinping, sign me up. Make me a part of the 5-year Congress, whatever it's called.
Party Congress? Yeah. Party talks? It's happening like next week, I think.
Yeah, actually. Right. Do you know that in China they canceled the release of a super popular movie supposedly because of the Congress talks?
Really? Yeah. I know that they did limit construction over some of the like super tall towers in Beijing because they looked into the compound where the party officials live.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Which that was pretty funny. But that's off topic.
Yeah, that's super off topic. And we're totally not saying the Congress thing, right? Anyway.
No, not honestly.
To end, I know we've started doing a quote, but I'm going to leave you with some other referendums that if you want to get involved with, you should visit their websites.
If they have them?
Oh, they definitely have websites.
Oh, are these like pending or
these are scheduled independence referendums.
Oh, interesting.
So New Caledonia is seeking independence from France.
And where is this region? Do you
New
know?
Caledonia? Yeah. It's in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Wait, what?
Pacific Ocean.
Really?
No. New Caledonia is east of Australia in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah.
Wow.
So they're seeking independence from France. And Bougainville.
Okay.
Which sounds like a city in Arkansas.
Seriously.
Bougainville!
Yeah, from Bougainville.
Is seeking its independence from Papua New Guinea.
Wow. Is it nearby Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, it's like close to it. It's not part of the main island of Papua New Guinea. I don't know what the island's called. But it's one of the ones that like kind of like tails off as you get closer and closer to the Solomon Islands.
Oh, I see.
And they're seeking their independence.
I mean, Papua New Guinea is a huge world power, so that would be big for them.
Yeah. They're also one of the few places on Earth that still have unreached tribes.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is pretty neat. With that in mind, if you want to get involved in referendum-ing,
go to Papua New Guinea
or New Caledonia.
Yeah, both those good...
Pledge your allegiance and fight that good fight.
Yes, because they need their rights.
For everybody else, let's work on this global order thing together.
Let's get this UN thing back on track.
Indeed. With that, let's say goodnight, Nick.
Yes, we need to, because I gotta go to bed. Good night, guys.
Night. Bye. Peace out. Dahomey! Thank you.
3 help you figure out?